I know your bulletin says Ron Fleetwood, but he's a little under the weather. You don't need glasses or your eyes checked this morning. Our reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 15. What do workers gain from all their hard work? I have observed the task that God has given human beings. God has made everything fitting in its time, but has also placed eternity in their hearts without enabling them to discover what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for them but to enjoy themselves and do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is a gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. I know that whatever God does will last forever. It's impossible to add to it or to take away from it. God has done this so that people are reverent before Him. Whatever happens has already happened, and whatever will happen has already happened before. And God looks after what is driven away. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so here we are in the month of August. It's so hard to believe. It seems like the summer just started, but we have less than a month before school begins. Sorry to remind you teachers as well as students, but it's coming. It's not going to be long before it's here. But I think August is a fascinating month, and one of my favorite months for a lot of reasons. I guess one reason is because it's Lily and Maya's birthday, and apparently there's a lot of awesome people born in the month of August, from what I'm gathering here, so that's pretty neat. Another thing that's interesting about August is that there's this myth out there about August that it's named after Emperor Caesar Augustus. And so if you notice, August is a month that has 31 days, but the previous month, July, also has 31 days too. And from what I understand, the reason why, and like I said, this might be a myth, the reason why August has 31 days is because Caesar Augustus was so vain that he had to have a month that had 31 days and not a month that just had 30. So hence, August has 31 days. But it's also interesting to me about August because it's normally the month in which people get their last hurrahs in before school starts. A lot of times people take vacations, people take trips, kind of getting them their hearts and minds and souls ready for the busyness that comes with the fall. And so the month of August, I think, reminds us that it's important for us to have some idle time in our lives. We need Sabbath rest. We need leisure in our lives, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think one reason that leisure and idle time is important is because it helps us to reflect. You know, when you're busy with life, when you're going through all the paces, through all the motions, through all the meetings and protocols, it's really hard to take time to step back and think. And I think this month, more than ever, helps us to do that, to take a deep breath, to think, to focus, to reframe ourselves on what's most important, on what the priorities ought to be when it comes to life. And so for the month of August, we're going to talk about some of those things. We're going to talk about the priorities, the things that are important. And so the series in August that we're going to talk about, I'm calling it The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength. How to have happiness and joy in your lives. I think that's important to think about, isn't it? To realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But how do we keep happiness? How do we keep joy in our lives? Because let's face it, everybody goes through tough times, don't they? We face trials, we face tribulations, we face dark nights of the soul, things that we can't understand. And so we need to ask those important questions. In the midst of all these trials and tribulations of life, how do we maintain our happiness? What does the Bible say about how we ought to have happiness in life? And lastly, and most importantly, how do we make sure that we keep our lives and our souls tapped into the joy of the Lord? So those are some of the things that we're going to explore today as well as in the coming weeks as well. And so first of all, as I like to often do, I want to start with a working definition of happiness. The dictionary defines it in this way: to be delighted, to be pleased, or glad is over a particular thing, characterized by or indicative of pleasure or contentment or joy. And so, as this mentions, in many ways, happiness is an emotion. There are certain things that I think happen to our bodies when we're happy. One of the first things that we do when we're happy is, of course, we smile. There's a smile on our face. The look on our face changes. That is pretty easy to look at a person to see whether or not they're happy in that moment by looking at a face. Another thing that happens when we're happy, I think, is that there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of calmness washing over us. Sometimes I think we take that for granted, but there's a peace that comes with happiness. There's nothing worrying us, nothing consuming us. Our mind and souls are in this state of contentment. But you know, I think that happiness doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are a lot of things that, of course, affect our happiness. You know, our mood, the things going on in our lives, the things going on in our families' lives, the things going on in our work life, the things going on in our relationships. All of these external factors, of course, make an impact on our happiness. But I know in many ways that happiness has to be a choice. There are things that I think can affect it. There are external factors, there are chemical imbalances in our brains, there's depressions and things that we can go through that affect our happiness. But I think in a lot of ways, happiness has to be a choice that we have to make. We have to choose whether or not we want to be content, whether we want to be happy with what we're experiencing in life. And so I think one of the best places to start, as we think about happiness, as we think about meaning in life, is the book of Ecclesiastes. And to me, Ecclesiastes is one of the neatest and most interesting books in the Bible. It's also one of the most verbose and tough to understand books in the Bible too, I think for a lot of reasons. And so to give you a little bit of background about this book is that Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. And King Solomon was the king after David. Solomon was one of the most powerful, one of the richest kings in all of Israel. And so at the beginning of Solomon's reign, God told Solomon, he said, "Solomon, I'm going to give you one gift. You can have whatever you want, whether it's riches that are piled as high as the ceiling on this church or whatever it might be, you can have it. One thing, and you can have it." So Solomon had asked for wisdom, and he was given it. And he was blessed beyond measure as a result of his wisdom. That was during this time, the kingdom of Israel was at its richest. It was during this time as well that the temple was built. The most beautiful temple ever was built during the time of King Solomon. But you see, Solomon also, as the heroes we talked about last month, also had an Achilles heel. He spent a lot of time with foreign women, and they strode him away from God. And so that ultimately began to be his undoing of his prestige and his power. But the thing about King Solomon is that he wrote Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life. He wrote it when he was realizing all the things about life that you tend to understand when you're advanced in age. Because you've been there, you've done that, you've experienced it, and you know. And so Solomon writes Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life. It's a reflection about everything that he's seen, everything that he's experienced. And so Ecclesiastes in Hebrew is called Kohelet. And what Kohelet means is the teacher. And so it's a series of teachings that King Solomon has about life. And it's these words that I want to share with you today. And so the scripture passage that John read, starting in verse 9, I think can be more fully understood if we look at the very beginning of the chapter. And so that's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you want to check it out in your Bible. I'm going to share it with you. So we're going to start at the beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And so I think these words should be very familiar to you that I'm about to read. These words you probably heard at a funeral, you might have heard them even at a wedding, or you might have even heard them in the 1960s when the Birds famously sung them. Turn, turn, turn. So listen to these words, because I think they're important as we understand life and as we understand happiness. Solomon writes this. He says, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." You see, I think that as you read these verses, that you recognize that at some point in your life, more than likely, you've gone through these different things. You've experienced joy. You've experienced sadness. Experienced happiness. Experienced sorrow. Experienced receiving. Experienced losing. All these things we go through in life. It's not a question of if you'll go through ups and downs, but when. It's just part of human existence. It's part of who we are to know that there is a season for everything. That this life is fleeting. One day we will leave this world. As I said, it's not a question of if, but it's a question of when. One day we will leave this world. And so how do we want to live our life as a result? Knowing that life is fleeting. Knowing that everybody goes through the same things. Knowing that there's a season for everything under earth and everything under heaven. How should we live our life knowing this to be true? And so Solomon says this. He says, "What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." And so Solomon helps us understand that God has ordered everything in the world. God has ordered earth and heaven, the land and the sea and everything in it. Obviously, in many ways, our actions can affect what happens on earth. But yet at the same time, God is in control. God knows what's going to happen. He knows the end of the story. And it's something that we can't hardly understand and comprehend. But yet we know that through all the ups and downs of life, our God is still God yesterday, today, and forever. And so knowing all that to be true, how do we live our life? And Solomon says, "I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift from God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. What has already been and what has been before, God will call into the past into account." And so what that means is that we have to accept our lot. We have to understand and be thankful for what God has given us and work from there. To be happy in what God has provided. To be happy in what he has given us. To be able to make the best of what we have. But that doesn't mean that there are times that we're going to be sad. That doesn't mean that there aren't times where we're going to be depressed, that we're going to be going through one of the toughest times in our lives. But in the grand scheme of things, we know that all of us go through those trials and tribulations. All of us go through those dark storms and shadows of life. And what we have to do is be there for one another. Be a source of comfort and consolation for each other, knowing that we all go through everything together. The joys and sorrows, the ups and the downs. What a special thing to know that we as a church family can do just that. That we are here together for that purpose, to be with one another through the ups and downs. To be together through the storms of life that assail us. That we can comfort one another provide happiness, pray for one another, be a source of joy and peace for one another. Because if we really sit down and think about it, life is a beautiful thing, isn't it? We get to make our own choices. We get to do our own things, especially in the United States, and exist in this beautiful place called Earth. It's a beautiful thing that we get to experience joy and sorrow, that we get to experience the storms of life because it makes us appreciate the good times and the good things. Solomon reminds us, as that old saying goes, that when you're going through something, this too shall pass. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel, whether it comes on this side of earth or on the other side. We know that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, if we believe that truth, we know that there is a home for us in heaven. There's a place where there's no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. We know that that place exists, and we believe in it, and we expect it one day. But while we're here, we need to follow those words that Solomon said. To do good, to help others, to love others. Amber beautifully said in her children's message that we're to follow the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I want to share with you one more quote that John Wesley said, who's the founder of Methodism. He said this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." This is how we get happiness in life. That if we do good toward one another, that we do good for each other, that we are there with one another through all the ups and downs, just like God is with us. If we follow those simple rules to do good, to do no harm, to stay in love with God, those are the keys to our happiness. Why make something so complicated that really is so simple? If you want to experience joy, do good, do no harm, stay in love with God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to know and understand that, Lord, we will go through trials and tribulations. There will be troubles. Your word reminds us that in this world we will have troubles. But you, O God, have overcome the world. We know that when we're going through something, all things will pass. Whether it be on this world or in heaven. And so, Lord, help us to cling to you. Help us to walk beside you. Help us to know, O Lord God, that through it all, you are with us. Help us to remember that, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are steadfast, you are infinite, you have ordered all of the earth and all of creation. So Lord, help us to have hearts of gratitude. Help us to have hearts of thanksgiving. Help us, O God, through it all, through the storms that assail us, the challenges that life brings us, help us to know that you walk beside us, that our church family walks beside us too. Help us to pray for one another, to do good to each other, to do no harm to one another, and help us to faithfully stay in love with you, O Lord God. So, Lord, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, that we all pray together. Amen.